Right about now, you're about to be possessed by the sounds of the two Ramblers, Dobber and Sammy D.
Hit it!
No, it's not time for the Cougar Cuties. It's time for the entertaining Two Ramblers podcast back for season two. I'm your host with the jokes from the class of 1994, Dobber, and from the class of 1998, it's the analyst with the attention to details, Sammy D, and it takes two Ramblers to make a thing go right. Sammy D, welcome in to season two of the Two Ramblers podcast and our first win of the season against the Fairleigh Dickinson Knights. And I am unmuting you now.
You wanted the best. You got the best. The Two Ramblers back again, better than ever.
Yeah.
Bourbon in hand, ready to celebrate our first W of the season.
Yes, and I think you're going to have to do a lot of the hosting today because I literally came from the Gentile Center in the last 10 minutes, and I lost my voice probably with 10 minutes to go in regulation. So
I do have visual proof that you were there. I saw you on the broadcast. I was proud that not only Dobber, but also Dwayne,
yes,
the patriarch of the Dobschutz family, was there. And so
Papa D himself, not Papa D, who used to have a hot dog stand on Sheridan Road, but Papa Dobschutz, Papa Dobber. So, yeah, you're going to have to do some leading tonight because I am
more than willing to carry the load. And so I'm a little curious of just like it was the first game of the season, just kind of, you know, you talked about our last podcast. We talked about, you know, the whatever they call them things, not a scrimmage, glorified scrimmage,
exhibition game.
Exhibition game. That's the word I was looking for. And, you know, just like it was a little light, but this was full throated. Student section overflow I saw on Twitter, and so, you know, just general, just kind of like, what did it feel like to be back in Gentile with a crowd, with just going nuts?
Well, I mean, we knew something maybe special had the potential of happening, you know, on Twitter when you saw that, you know, they were sending out bulletins that saying that the student section was at overflow capacity, and they were going to have to. I think they can place kids in other parts of the arena, but they have to kind of organize them first. And so when we walked into Damon Center from the parking garage, there were, you know, I don't know, 1,000 students lined up with an hour before tip off. It was a lot. It's the most I've seen. I mean, maybe some of those games end of the season last year, or maybe some of the games during the runs, you know, but it's the most I've seen, you know, at a game. I felt like lining up early.
Right.
And they all had gear, and I mean, they were really into it. So
yeah, they looked just fantastic on screen, and what kudos to the athletic department for flipping the stadium around. And so that now on TV, you see the student section the whole game, and they were in it the whole game, and it was awesome to see.
Yeah, and they were in it. They were full-throated most of the game. Shout out to Coach Drew. At one point, he wanted some help, and he gave him that sign, you know, the get up sign, and they went crazy. So The players at different points were calling them to get up, and so it looks like it has the potential to be a home field advantage, like a big advantage, if we can keep them focused at the important parts of the game. There were a couple of times they were a little quiet at different points where it was like, this is the time to get crazy. Mm. So, but you know, it's their first game too. So they're working it out, but boy, what a great ending of tonight's game. You know, for sure. So again, shoulder the load, take it off my voice here.
All right. Okay. So, This is exactly what I thought was going to happen the first month of the season, where you have these games where it looks like on paper, you know, even as the game started, you know, the color commentator, who is normally the Ramblers radio play-by-play color guy, you know, he talked about, hey, there's a size advantage for Loyola. They should pound it in and just, you know, and go to town. And as the game played out, it's like it was even across the board. I think, you know, as we shared, talked before we jumped on, you know, like as you looked up at the statistics throughout the stadium, it was like they were even across the board. And as I'm looking at it again, it's just like, wow, it's amazing how just even there were, you know, points in the paint, you know, it was 44-44. It's like, where's our size advantage, you know? Or
yeah, they were. There was one point I looked up in, you know, the late in the second half, and I saw them out rebounding us by 2 rebounds. It was like 22 yeah. to 20 or something like that.
Yeah, total rebounds 45-48. You know, in favor of the Ramblers. So 3 rebounds. I mean, that's not what should show that. Hey, there's a size advantage. And so it's just one of those games where it's like they're still trying to figure things out. You know, I was even thinking about this, you know, just as I'm watching the game, it was like, this is the epitome of like, I don't know my role, so I can't play well. And that's what it looked like at different points throughout the game, was like, guys are still trying to figure out what's my role. And then even more in this, and we noticed this even in the scrimmages or the games in Europe, was you make a mistake, Drew's going to pull you. And there's only one guy that has the leeway, and it's Braden, because he played 45 of 45 minutes. That cannot continue.
Yeah, I said in last week's episode that he was, you know, we couldn't quick triggered, I guess, to pull guys out.
The quick hook.
So he was quick hook. If a guy got a foul, they're out. I mean, like almost right after the foul, they'd be coming out. Missed shots. Especially layups, anything, any high percentage, you know, they were just coming out. So he was rotating guys the whole game. And credit to Fairleigh Dickinson too. We got some guys in foul trouble pretty quickly. There was one point where I think we gave up 3 fouls in 10 seconds of basketball. There, 10 elapsed seconds on the clock. Or 12 mm-hmm. seconds, because, and I don't even remember what happened, because I, you know, I'm just watching the game live. So, but, you know, I mean, there was just 3 things that happened in a row where we gave up, where we fouled. And so, you know, and they were making foul shots too, for the most part. They missed a couple on the down the stretch, which was helpful because they weren't missing them at the beginning.
Yeah, I was pretty amazed at the statistic that I'm looking at right here, is that they made no field goals in the last 4:27. So that means in overtime, they had their first basket, and then they had the 3 free throws, and those were their only points that they scored in overtime. And so that's the difference in the game. But it's just like that defensive, you know, they showed up defensively in overtime.
A couple of interesting things in this game that I think were a test. I mean, they pressed most of the game, and I don't know if it was a full press, but it was on ball defending as the ball comes up, sometimes double teaming early in the game. You know, our guards fought through it, but boy, there were a couple of really like passes that I think in the A-10 would be turnovers. There were a couple of passes that Braden was leaving his feet a lot and just kind of looked a little out of control at different points. And they got away with some really errant throws. I mean, they did have turnovers, but it could have been worse based on just that pressure kind of, you know, made it challenging. And inbounding the ball was challenging a couple times too.
Yeah, they definitely did not look very in sync in the number of inbounds that I just remember. It was just like, yeah, they looked like, especially like right at the end there where Saint is inbounding to, I want to say to Jaden or Jalen. That's going to take some time. But just looked unsure of his pass or the one that was kind of like floated to Braden. And they had the turnover at the end there. It was just like, come on guys, we need to button this up. But yeah, I mean, the number one stat that I just was like so glaring and just like, this is the reason why this game was close was 18 turnovers. You cannot win quality basketball games with 18 turnovers. And that was just like, yeah, they got to button that up because they're not going to win in the A-10 with that type of, you know, being sloppy with the ball offensively. And that's going to, and again, I think that's why November, December, it's survive. If they can be 500 or a little bit over 500 or you know, maybe even, you know, obviously they're going to have some more games like this where they should win, where it's like, hey, 2, 3, 4 losses, that's okay. Because it's all about building into, let's get ready for January and February because that's where we're going to really start to play well.
Well, and not to call out Saint, I mean, he got going with a couple of those big threes at the beginning and I kind of thought maybe this is his game. I thought maybe just him getting threes would just lead to a barrage. I was looking for kind of at the end of this first half for us to just go on one of those 14 or 16 point runs. And then this game's just over.
Right.
Never happened. We got up to 12 on them and they got their way back in and went up on us. So, I mean, we never had that, but you know, when you talk about that turnover game, I mean, Saint had 6 turnovers. And, I know it was a tough game and these guys were battling, but, man, 6 is bad for a guy who, you know, really isn't bringing the ball up or distributing. So yeah. I don't know how he turns it over 6 times, but.
He looked unsure of himself at different points. And I think a lot of those, I could be wrong, but a lot of those I think were late when it looked like he was completely gassed. And which I. And now that looking at the minute totals, I'm like 27 minutes. Like I can understand Braden being gassed, but 27 minutes, that doesn't strike me as like, but I don't know. I do find it interesting that they went 11 deep on the, you know, for tonight.
I started thinking that maybe this was essentially like an exhibition game for coach. Cause even when we were down 4, with a couple minutes left, he looked cool as a cucumber. He did not look ruffled. He was drinking his water. And I just thought, well, you know, maybe he's just going, hey, I'm gonna see these different matchups and I'm going to try different settings of guys. I mean, I kind of just wondered how much, he needed a win here versus wanting to see different matchups and stuff. That's my thought. He looked relaxed at the end of the game, whereas I was going nuts with a couple other things. So, I don't know how we've done this. We've probably talked for, what is it?
I got 16 minutes. On
13
the clock.
Minutes. I don't think we've mentioned Sheldon Edwards yet. What, you know?
Oh my gosh.
So come on, let's give this guy some love. This guy might be our new Night Train player of the season or something. I mean, I don't know. Him and Jalen
definitely came off the bench. So, it was to give the TV crew credit. I saw they were getting lambasted on Twitter, but it's like the guy called it. It's like it's got to be a play where it's, you know, hey, one, you're not going to be able to dribble. It's like it's a quick turnaround and enough for one shot, one fake, and you know, and you're up. And that's exactly what it was. And credit to Tom Welch for a great, you know, throw 3/4 court to get it to him. And then, yeah, shook his defender, had a clean look. It was a beautiful, you know,
Was there one basket or one bounce?
I think he had one bounce.
Yeah.
Just enough to get up.
Yeah, no, I was looking at the clock, and, you know, I know the old math, right? It's like in the NBA, you know, you got to have at least 0.8 on the clock to get, you know, touch shot. So one, maybe it's catch and shoot. 1.8 is what we had. So it was catch, dribble, turn, fade away. I mean, he was able to put that sequence together in that amount of time. And yeah. I watched it in real time. Obviously, there was no replay at the time. And so I had to just go with what I saw. And, you know, like you saw at home, I mean, it looked like he got the shot off. But, you know, when you're watching it live, you see that scoreboard light up red and you're doubting yourself a little bit. You're like, did he get it? Did he get it? I hope he got it. And then he got it.
Yeah. And then I said this in our last episode, you know, to preview the season. It's like, I need some guys that are going to go get shots. And Sheldon is one of those guys. He can go get a shot and proved it right there. He didn't need to be, you know, get off screens. He didn't need to, you know, kind of the ball movement of four passing runs, like got the ball, juked, went up and just nailed it.
Yeah, let me tell you guys that got shots tonight for themselves. Phil Alston got one. Quinn had at least two. Braden had one or two. Sheldon had a couple. They created something, they did it on their own a little bit.
Right.
So I do think we have that option now with a couple of these guys.
And, you know, but then also on the flip side is that if you have that tendency is like, hey, I know I can go get a shot, then the tendency is to dribble too much and then you dribble into trouble. And that Sheldon, that happened with him once, or at least twice that I saw. And so, you know, you want to be careful with that. You want to balance that. There's moments to say, hey, I'm going to go get a shot here. And there's also moments where I'm going to pass and there's the two, three passes and then to get to the open guy, and that's within the offense. So it's just like it's a really fine line where it can be really good or really bad.
I want to say, boy, I wish I could watch back the game right now. I'm trying to think of the sequence. Either Jalen or Sheldon had a reverse that was just so sick, like in real time. I mean. So there were a couple of these like at the hoop where they just finished well. So, I mean, there were some exciting things to look for. One of the guys in front of me, every time Jalen Quinn did something well, he kept yelling, "The future." So I don't know if that's his new nickname, The Future. But it was exciting to see him. Dawson got some quality minutes today. You know, Schweiger was out there, but, you know, he didn't quite look as dominant as I thought he would be based on the scrimmage I saw him play.
Right.
He looked a little more undersized, I think, when you put him against some of these other D1 athletes. So,
But he was out there for 27 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he was there.
Yeah, I felt like Coach trusted him. You know, we were talking about, on the way home, I was talking about guys Coach trusted. He definitely, he trusted Tommy Welch today.
Yeah.
Not only did he get the start, but he was in for how many minutes?
31.
Then went six for six, 15 and 15. We can't even give him, you know, the Matt Hammer Hawes player of the game. He's a starter, you know?
Yeah.
It's like.
We almost got to come up with a new award.
Yeah. I mean, he got like a Lucas Award today, I think. Him and, you know, I mean, that's great for him.
I honestly, if he can average a double-double, dude, like, that's just ridiculous. I honestly cannot fathom him doing that. And it just, like, that speaks to the volumes of what he did over the offseason to get ready for this season.
Yeah, and you know, there was so much talk in the offseason about Bryce Golden. And, you know, I've now been able to see him in a scrimmage. I've been able to see him in an exhibition. I've been able to see him in a real game. And Welch is playing better than him right now.
Yeah.
And has the trust of the coach. And you know, talk about the quick hook. You know, Bryce is getting the quick hook. He's getting an earful at different points. Maybe I'm you know, I'm just a fan. So I that's what it looks like to me. Maybe there's something going on. Maybe he's learning and, you know, there's things that are happening. All I'm saying, just from the eye test, Tom Welch looked more in the game, more knew what he was, what his role was. Right. It was kind of maybe what you were saying, you know, maybe some of these guys are still trying to figure out, where do I fit?
Yeah, because when in a team game, you have to know what your role is. And you have to know, how does my role then affect the other roles? Because if you don't know that, then you're going to be thinking too much. Whereas if you know my role and it's like how this impacts, you know, those guys around me, then it's like you can then really be free to play. Otherwise, you're going to be thinking, well, do I do this? Do I do that? And that's probably where Bryce is really struggling right now, is he's still trying to figure out, okay, what do I need? Where do I need to be? What do I need to be doing? And that's why, you know, I saw on Twitter there was a Chicago magazine. They had an expose on Coach Drew. And first thing they talked about was him talking about, you know, Bryce, and they were at a practice, and I was a little surprised with Chicago magazine, but it was like, you know, they were letting the F-bombs, you know, fly in print. I'm like, hello, you know, but it was like him calling out Bryce. I'm like, just like, you know, what are you doing? You know, that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, I think he's still trying to figure out. Again, November, December, let's survive. Let's move on so that January, February, we're fine-tuning. And we're a fine-tuned machine to really compete.
Well, let's get you know, some of the easy things out of the way. The JB Giant play of the game, Sheldon Edwards.
Sheldon Edwards.
Welch with the three-quarter court pass.
Assist.
Sheldon with the hops of a DB going up for a ball at the top of the arc, or a, you know, wide receiver, and then a turnaround with sort of a fadeaway jumper. Yeah. Landed on his butt, kind of Jordan-esque. I saw the replay. I mean, it looked like one of those Jordan shots.
Yeah.
So I mean, it was beautiful in person, and I can't wait to watch it again. I think I watched it on Twitter. They posted it right away.
Yeah, and it was on ESPN, and there were a couple other different Twitters, like of you know.
Well, I think it's got
buzzer beaters.
I think it's got to be a top 10 play of the day. I don't know if they still do that on ESPN, but so anyway, there's that one, and then Hammer Haas, player of the game, Matt the Hammer Haas, of course, who was in last season's Two Ramblers podcast. He joined us for the preview for the NCAAs. Who do you got for the Matt Hammer Haas? This is the player with the heart and hustle. Who do you give it to this game?
Well, I mean, man, I'm still just in awe of Tom Welch's 15-15. The fact that he was 6-6 from the field, 3-4 from the free throw line, 2 assists. Only had one personal foul, which I still find, you know, we had 2 guys that fouled out, and he only had 1. So, played 31 minutes and just really efficient. And so just... I'm just so excited to watch him mature as a player, and then really, like, hey, he's not taking a back seat to anybody, and is really playing well. And so, yeah, I'm going to go Tom Welch.
All right, Tom Welch it is. We're going to make the executive call, even though he got the start, even though he played a majority of the minutes at his position. We will give it to him.
It's heart and hustle. Because here's the heart and hustle. Here's the play in itself. Okay, at the end of the game, there was a loose ball on the ground. 2 guys went down, Saint and Tom. The Fairleigh Dickinson player literally was standing there looking at them like, what are you guys doing? You know, it's like the first game of the season. Why are you diving? You know, and they're on the ground, and Tom's ripping the ball away, and, you know, and then comes up with the ball, and just like, that's heart and hustle. That's the Matt Haas player of the game.
Yeah, yeah. And this is kind of minor, but, you know, when we went into overtime, they had to tip up the ball and, you know, or whatever it's called. And they had Phil Alston at the beginning of the game who disappeared during the game. I think he had some problem. They didn't really make a big deal about it on the broadcast, it sounds like. But he left the bench and went back for treatment or went back to look at something and then never came back in the game. But he started at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, he did the tip. I saw that.
Welch is on the floor, but Phil did the tip because his hops are just a little, you know, a little more there maybe.
Right.
But and Phil lost the tip. But then at the end of the game, they had Welch, you know, go up and he had this look of determination on his, what do they call that? I'm losing it. What do they call
game
it?
Face?
When they throw up the ball? What is
the tip
it?
Up. Tip off,
I guess. Yeah. So, you know, he had this determination and he went up and got the ball. He actually got the tip.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is after playing like 25, 30 minutes, you know?
No, if that's where we're going to get from him, who coming into the season was like, I don't know. I mean, what he's.
Yeah, last week you didn't know what to do with him. This week he started and got 15 for 15. So shows you what we know.
Exactly. It's like if that's what we're going to get from him, oh my gosh, that's awesome. I mean, yeah, if we get a double-double from Tom Welch throughout the whole season and average a double, wow. That's, yeah, mind blown.
All right, any more game comments?
Yeah, I have something that I think I saw it on Twitter. Ben Schweiger's mom, you know, was so excited, you know, for him playing tonight. So she's like, you know, let's go, Benny. And I was like, can we call him Benny? That just seems like, you know, that could be a bad thing. And so I think, you know, I almost want to, if guys are going to have those moments where they're kind of like, what are you doing? It's like, you know, it's Benny or Huddy, you know, just like different, like we got to think of different nicknames that are kind of like, what are you doing? Like I always envision, like when I mess up, I always envision our grandfather, Papa Carl, you know, saying Samuel, you know, just Samuel. What are you? And so those kind of moments. So so when I saw Benny made one mistake at one point, I just like Benny.
Well, someone had a poster, I don't know if it was a family member or whatever, but someone had a poster for Benny Buckets today. So
yes, his mom.
Yeah, so Benny Buckets, they were cheering for Benny Buckets in I think it was section 203. So, yeah, also the girl with the striped pants who gets on TV a lot, she had a sign today where it was fairly bad, and she had Dickinson crossed out. That was pretty funny. Of course, it wasn't funny when they were up four,
right?
Or when they were up two with 1.8 seconds. I was actually thinking that'd be the name of this podcast, fairly bad. But now we're going to have to come up with another title for this podcast. And speaking of nicknames, man, I need a nickname for Sheldon, man. I was calling him Sheldon, Shelly, Shell.
Yeah, when he does something bad, it's Shelly.
Yeah, I was like, well, no, I mean, I'm not, I'm just, I was.
No, I'm thinking of, wasn't there like an old comedian back in the day was like Sheldon or something or, you know.
Yeah, I don't
know. Call him Shelly or whatever.
I don't know. But anyway, there was one point though where I think he had this reverse or something. He did something and I was like, don't do him like that, Shell. Don't do him. It was too good. So, yeah, definitely shout out to Sheldon Edwards, man. He was great. Oh, hey, one other cool thing. Whenever these guys were at the line or, you know, like especially for an and one, they flashed up their Twitter handles, which I thought was interesting. In case you want to follow them on Twitter, it was like right on the scoreboard. So I thought that was pretty cool. So, yeah, there were some cool things tonight. I mean, just in terms of their, you know, the show, the entertainment part of it. One funny thing is, you know, they have this pub now in the basement of Damon called the Ireland Pub.
Yes.
And named after George Ireland. And We actually stopped in there and it was dead before the game. Sometimes they have private parties down there, but they didn't have a private party. So, you know, future games, Rambler, two Ramblers fans, if you want to kind of hang out before the game, I'm going to try to go to this Ireland pub if it's open. I tried a couple times last year and it was closed for a private party. So if it is open, if you see that it's open, come down because I'll probably be down there. So,
okay.
Hey, yeah.
Do we want to announce the big news for this week?
Sure.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know what I'm not quite sure which news you're talking about.
Our next game is Friday at UIC. Am I right?
Right. Yes.
Are you going to the game?
I'm not going to the game. I'm going to watch the game. I'm not going to go down there, though.
Why are you not going to go?
I don't know. I mean, it's I'm not a big fan of UIC, and I don't know if I want to go there on Friday night. So that's what I'm thinking right now. Why? Are you going to go?
I know
you're going to be in town. Are you going to go?
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. I got a lot of games to go to this year. Look, I've already lost my voice already this week.
Oh my gosh, two Rambler fans. We had literally discussed this. Like, we have an opportunity where I'm actually in town, and I'm sorry if my schedule did not line up with tonight's game or Monday night's. I think it's next Monday night. But I'm in town for Friday. I was like, we're going to the game. Okay. I said, let's do it.
Well, I might be open to it. I want to see how the.
Open. Like, we're going to be there.
I want to see how the week unveils. So I don't know. I'm not going to commit to it right now.
Like,
okay.
Oh my gosh. Two Rambler fans. Like, Sammy D is in town.
All right. Before you write me or at me on Twitter, okay? It is a challenging week for the two Rambles.
Yes, it is a challenging week for
all
of us.
So, as we recorded our episode last Monday, my mother passed away. Your mother, Sammy D's mother, too. And
the biggest two Rambler fan.
Yeah. And while she was declining in health this past summer, it was a complete shock. And
yes.
I mean, I got to be honest, Sam, I've been doing okay, but I've had some bad days. So, committing to a game on Friday night at UIC of my mother's funeral weekend, I'm not sure about. That's all. But I mean, maybe I'm not saying no. But I'm just saying it's been tough a little bit. So just
how about if I put it like this?
Yes,
I'm going.
Okay. Well, let
if
me.
If you want to come,
yes,
you are more than welcome to come.
Okay. Well, let me consider it. So I need to think about it.
Okay.
I will be watching it, and we will hopefully be doing a live.
We will be doing a live,
or not a live, but a in person recording
to the two Ramblers in the same room podcast, which has only ever happened once.
Yes, we will do that for sure. So anyway, sad note to
end. We might even get
the
third Rambler.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Jeffrey Viss.
Uncle Jeffy. Well, anyway, sad note to end on. And it was cool to go with Dad tonight. We in the Ireland pub, we did talk about Mom quite a bit. And she was a two Rambler fan, a kind of converted Rambler fan. She watched a lot of the games last year.
Yes.
And listened
she watched to every game.
Yes, and listened to every podcast. So we're definitely going to miss her download numbers for sure. You know, that's like 20% of our audience.
Yes.
So anyway, it's a sad week in the old Dauber house and the Sammy D house. And, but you know, we're committed to doing this podcast. Obviously it was a bright spot of my week to be at the Ramblers game today. So
yes. And it was awesome to see you guys on TV into the regalia cheering on the Ramblers. So hopefully for much more of that this season. Shout out to our wonderful fans. I think it was it? Somebody posted the awesome It's Game Day. So we need to have Dauber you know, dancing. I think it was Susan. Yeah, Susan posted it, you know, of the Susan H. And it posted the video of Dobber doing the, you know, doing the wave. So it was like, that was awesome to see.
Yeah, it's good that we have a copy of that, because I don't think I'm going to be getting on TV this year. Other than, it was funny that they flashed to us. And they flashed to us when we looked kind of bored. But it literally was at a very crucial point in the game. And we had been screaming for like 20 minutes straight. So I think they caught us at a down moment where we were just waiting for the game to get back on. So anyway. All right. Well, let's pack it in.
Yes.
For the analyst with the attention to detail, Sammy D. This is your host with the jokes, Dobber.
And the horse voice.
And a horse voice. And this is the entertaining Two Ramblers podcast, where...
the number one podcast for Ramblers basketball.
Exactly. Your number one destination for random Ramblers comments about games. So anyway, guys, it's been great having you listen today. And we'll see you next week. Probably mid-Tuesday, I think, is when we're going to launch these episodes. So we'll be breaking down that UIC Flames game, and we'll can't wait to see you then. And until we talk again, go Ramblers.
Go Ramblers.